Just looking at those two words, rejoice evermore. I said, Lord, if I'm going to preach a message on this, I know in it being the Word of God that it's deeper than what it appears, because the Word of God is inexhaustible. We've not explored its depths yet. Millions and millions of messages have been preached over the years, but we've still not explored and expounded all of the depths of God's Word. That's why it's always up to date in your life. God can let spring up out of the well of the Word of God exactly what you need for that day and for that situation. Because it is not of man, it's of God. It's not a novel, it's not a history book as such. It is the infallible Word of God. It is without boundaries. As much as God is. That's why God can just take and just, it's inspired, amen? And so I just asked God, I said, open it up to me. Let me think on it. Let me meditate on it. Show me some things about it and chew on it. And listen, what you read in a book about a verse, you may forget it tomorrow. But when you ask God to help you to meditate, I believe that's the missing element in our churches today, is that people take time to meditate upon a scripture, meditate upon a word, meditate upon a verse, amen, and let God open that up to you and feed you through the Spirit of God in the scriptures. I believe that's one of the missing elements, amen. And it takes time to do that. It takes time to meditate. It takes time to think. But that's something that you can do riding down the road. That's something you can do mowing the yard. That's something you can do, amen, while you're doing other things. You can actually be meditating upon Scripture and upon, ask God to give you something. Always have your pencil ready and a pen handy to write some things down as God gives that to you, amen. And I can't explain how I do that. I don't really know how I do that. But I just know that over the years, God's helped me to be able to do that, and is still helping me in that area, amen. And I don't have a monopoly on that. I'm not arrived on that subject, on that thought of meditation. But anyway, I've asked the Lord to help me on this, and there's more there than I can, than we could probably preach a series on it. Just those two words, rejoice evermore. And I believe it's a missing element in our churches. I believe it's a missing element in my life. Amen. I have rejoicing some. I have rejoicing in my heart occasional. I have rejoicing in my heart, sporadic and sometimes spontaneous. Amen. But am I guilty of rejoicing evermore? What about that? I dare say many of us have got that down pat. But it's written in light of the coming of Christ. In this context, it's dealing with the coming of the Lord. Amen. Should that not be what should stir our hearts to rejoice? Amen. You know why a lot of people can't rejoice over the context? Is because rejoice evermore in rejoicing about the coming of the Lord means there's coming a day that I'm going to leave all this. And that's where the rejoicing turns to remorse, is because I don't want to leave all this. Our problem, I believe, especially in America, where we are so blessed, financially so blessed, materially, is that we've got our roots too deep here. We've got our hands full of the world here. And the thoughts of leaving it, the thoughts of Jesus coming and leaving the money in the bank because you can't take it with you, leaving the car in the garage because you can't drive it to glory, amen, leaving all of that behind, it grieves people to death, amen. And I don't know, I'm not a prophet nor the son of a prophet. I'm glad I don't know the future other than what the Bible shows us. But could it be that God is going to allow this country to get in such a mess, amen, I'm talking about economic mess, to where we may not have all the material distractions and the financial distractions, and our dependence will grow in the Lord because He may be all that we have. Amen. I remember Brother Mark teaching, saying this about Psalms 23 a few years back. He was teaching out of Psalms 23 and where it said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And he made the statement, I can't remember exactly how he worded it, I'm sure he remembers. But he made the statement along the lines of, it may be that he's not just all we want, it may come a time that he's all we have. Amen. It might be that he's all we've got. And when he's all we've got enough. Because the Bible says he is our sufficiency. Amen. I mean, the economy can take money out of the bank. Oh, yeah, they could do that. Economy could turn my lights off. Economy could do those things. But I'll tell you what economy cannot do. Economy cannot cancel the covenant that God has with my soul. God, listen, the economy cannot cancel the promises of God's word. Amen. And God has already told us that he's going to take care of us. He is going to provide for us. Thank God. Hallelujah. I feel something on that. And he's shown us through the scripture that he doesn't need a grocery store to feed his people. He doesn't need a doctor's office to take care of his people. He took care of 2.5 million people in the wilderness, amen, thank God, without a grocery store, without a hospital, without a clothes market, amen, he took care of them. Amen. Can you see what joy can come in your heart when you look at our falling apart world, when you look at our collapsing world? Amen. As Brother Aaron talked about this morning, having fear for his children of wondering what will be in the years to come for them in this nation. Will they have a red, white, and blue? Will they have a home of the brave in the land of the free, or land of the free and home of the brave? Will they have that? And he says he gets fearful about those things. Amen. But freedom comes when you say, you know what? The Lord's wanting to give me those kids. In fact, the Bible says those kids are the heritage of the Lord. Hey, man, the Lord's going to take care of them. You think he's going to take care of sparrows and buzzards and fish and beasts of the field and fowls of the air, Brother Bob, and not take care of the seed of the righteous? Amen. Oh, yes, amen. David said, I've been young and now I'm old, and yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory. You feeling some of that back there on the back row? That'll dispel some of that fear, Brother Aaron. Amen. When we get our eyes on the sufficiency of God. Well, amen. I don't know where all that come from, but I believe it's from the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. The scripture says, rejoice evermore. I'm trying to preach on second coming spirituality through this chapter or in this chapter. I don't know how many messages we've already preached or parts of messages. We dealt with this morning, rejoice evermore. And I want to jump back on that if I could tonight and say a few more things about it. And then we'll have something at the end of the service that will be a blessing, I'm sure. Second coming spirituality is it causes rejoicing in the hearts of God's people. Amen. And you can know your true joy is found. You know where your true joy is found. If you're saved, you know where your true joy is found. And our problem today is when we try to find it elsewhere. I'm as guilty as the next one of trying to find joy other place. Listen, I'm not talking about wickedness. I'm not talking about in sin. I'm talking about just in other things. Amen. Other pursuits, other things that might even be good in themselves. But if that is what our heart is trying to find solace and peace and joy in, then we have made that an idol. We have made that. It's come between us and the Lord. Amen. And so we know where our joy is at. You young people, you've been exposed to a whole lot here, and you know where your joy is going to be found. You know where it is. You may turn from that and you may look elsewhere. You may look in the world. You may look in popularity. You may look in prosperity to try to find joy and try to find means of rejoicing. But I want to tell you, before God, you know where your joy is going to be found. Your joy is not going to be found in relationships, but in a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So why waste your time? Why do we waste our time knowing that things is not my joy? People is not my joy. Places is not my joy. Circumstances is not my joy. My joy is spelled J-E-S-U-S. And His name is Jesus. Boy, I feel God tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to just quote again, if I could, Brother Wenzel's statement. I'm sure it was him. How can we rejoice evermore if we're not rejoicing anymore? That's good, isn't it? That's real good. But let's jump on this word here, rejoice. And we're going to look at that in just a moment, a little more detail, a little more depth than we did this morning. And then we're going to look at that word evermore just for a moment. And I thought about this even today, meditating some more on it. And like I said, the more I think on it, the deeper it gets. The more I see, or the more the Lord shows me, I should say. When you're talking about rejoicing evermore, you have to be talking about rejoicing in that which is evermore. Think about that. If I'm, Brother Jeff, if I'm to rejoice evermore, then I must be rejoicing in what is forevermore. So the basis, Brother Mark, behind rejoice evermore has got to be that which is eternal. You remember, it just came to my mind, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I believe it is, when Paul was talking about, for this cause we faint not, though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. And he goes on to say, for these light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more and exceeding an eternal weight of glory. And here comes in verse 18 the key. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. How did Paul keep joy and shout and sing and pray in a jail cell looking hopeless? Amen. I'll tell you why. He wouldn't let himself think on those things. He thought about what was true and honest and a good report. He thought about heavenly things. He thought about truth. Amen. Well, you think about it. And do we not need preaching on rejoicing evermore? Do we not need that? I'm talking about in the church. Rejoice evermore. Listen, our churches, and our churches, I'm talking about ours, like faith, are literally permeated with all kinds of antidepressant help and assistance. I'd have loved to have done some research on that. I just got that coming to church, thinking on that. I'd love to have done some research and got some stats and statistics and stuff about just how much money is spent on or how many people are hooked on antidepressants. And I know, listen now, I know that there are a chemical issue in some of those cases. I know that. But I want to tell you, for a large part of that, it's not a chemical situation. It's a concentration situation. It's what you're concentrating on. It's what your focus is on. Most people in our churches never rejoice anymore, much less evermore, because all they think about is what they don't have and who don't like me and who said this and who's doing this and what's going on in Washington and what's the next deal. Instead of rejoicing about what is evermore. And by the way, can I just tell you, your problems are not evermore. Your problems are not evermore. Hey, man, that's right. No, they're not evermore. The devil may tell you they are. The devil may put that in your mind that my life is nothing but trouble and problems and heartache. But they're not evermore. There's a day coming Thank God, that's more than a song. It's a truth. Thank God, there's coming a day when all sorrows is going to be erased and all of the negative is over and all of the disappointments will be forever past. Amen. We'll bid farewell to heartache and pain and misery and regret. It'll be over with. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Well, that's right. I really do believe that. I believe that a lot of people in our church, and I believe even the times that I'm down, in fact, I know it is. Brother Jeter, even the times when I get down, it's not a chemical issue. It's not that I'm having a chemical problem. I believe it's the fact that I'm focusing on feelings and focusing on fears, focusing on things like that. And listen, you won't ever get down looking at Jesus. Hey, you won't ever get down looking at him. You won't ever get close to him and get down and discouraged and defeated. So when we are like that, guess what? I believe it's because that we're not around him, close to him, focusing on him. Amen. Oh yeah, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, and let us run the race, amen, with patience. Let us run the race before that is set before us with patience, amen. Why? How do we do that? Next verse, looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Yeah, verse 3, consider him who has endured such contradictions against himself, lest you be weary and faint in your mind. Hey, amen, you've not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Hey, amen, consider him. Look unto him. Have him in focus. Hey, amen, we come to church, and most of our church services, they go down as somewhat failures. Amen. Because we fail to worship. We fail to have the power of God. There's not going to be any power where there's no praise. You can believe that. Amen. And there's not going to be any praise if you're pouting. There's not going to be praise, you know, if you're focusing on the negative and the physical and the financial and the relational. And you're, amen, focusing on those things. Well, I better get on with it. It's getting big. Help me, Lord. And I thought about this too. The Lord gave this to me, coming to church. If I'm to rejoice evermore, you think about this. If I'm to rejoice evermore, then that means that whatever I'm supposed to rejoice in is already intact. Intact. In other words, I don't have to wait and see. Faith doesn't have a wait and see principle. Now, wait a minute now. Paul wrote these words, Brother Randy, a few thousand years ago at least. Rejoice evermore. He's already telling us to rejoice. He wasn't living in my day. So he cannot be writing that with the mind, well, we got to wait and see first. We got to wait and see what happens. No, I believe it's implied behind that statement, rejoice evermore, that we already have what we need to rejoice about forevermore. Amen. Well, I think that's good stuff, you ask me, amen. Rejoice all the time, always, rejoice ever. I'm glad we can do that, amen. Well, hallelujah, that's good, that helped me. Well then, if we have some of those things, let me just jump into this. I got to get into this or I'm not going to get it done tonight. Hallelujah, amen. Boy, Lord's helping me. If it's implied, and do y'all see that? I mean, I'm not just preaching, I mean, do you see that? Rejoice, we're told to do that. We're not asked to do that, we're being told to do that. And if we're being told to do something and we don't do it, it is disobedience, and disobedience is sin. If God says, thou shalt not kill, and we kill, then we've sinned, right? Thou shalt not lie, and we lie, then we've sinned. If God says, rejoice evermore, and we don't, then we are sin. I wonder how many think looking at that, looking at your our lack of rejoicing as S-I-N. What about that? Let's deal with this. And this is so simple. The first thing, and I want to call it first because that's where it all starts. If we're going to rejoice evermore, then we must be rejoicing in the Savior. Now, I've got scripture for it now. We must rejoice in the Savior. I wrote this down this morning. Jesus' salvation and his life that he gives to repenting, believing sinners removes misery. It don't matter how what your life is, what's in your life, what's going on in your life. If you're lost, you get saved by the grace of God. Truly saved, truly born again. And God, my friend, puts life in you. He removes misery. He does. And of course, you look at most church members, you think, well, he may have removed it, but it's come back. And I do believe that that's the reason a lot of saved people, a lot of lost people are not real in a real big hurry to want to get saved is because they've looked at a lot of church folk. I really believe that. Amen. I believe when sinners can look at us and see a difference and see a change, and they know we're living in the same world they are. They know we're living in the same economic, political, immoral world they're in. We're in it, but not of it. And when they see us morbid and sad and gloomy, then they're going to say, well, they ain't got nothing no more than we do. Amen. Oh, yeah, come on, preacher. Preach a little bit right there. Acts chapter 16, I referenced that earlier. Paul's in the Philippian jail. His feet and hands were in the stocks, had been beaten, and it looked like, apart from God, that he was going to be decapitated. Looked like that was going to be the end of Paul's life. What was he doing at midnight? We all know that story. We reference it a lot. He was singing and praising the Lord at midnight. Of course, you know the story how that God got happy, stomped his foot, and the jailhouse rocked. Elvis didn't come up with the jailhouse rock. God did. Amen. Jesus, God rocked the jail, buddy, and the door swung wide open. And everybody, listen, it looked like everybody was going to leave. Amen. And Paul said when the jailer come in was going to kill himself because he knew the penalty of prisoners escaping under his watch. He was accountable. And even under the penalty of death. And he was going to take his life, no doubt. And Paul said, do thyself no harm. Remember him saying that? Do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Paul wasn't a Baptist preacher, because if that door would have swung open on me, I get tickled sometimes in cartoons, you know, they're out in a desert, but when they take off running, you can see sparks on their feet, them little cartoon characters. That's the way it'd have been with me. That door swung open on me, buddy, I'd have been out of there. I'd have preached on the next hillside over there, or I'd have sent them an email or something. But Paul knew he didn't get in there for wrongdoing. He knew he was in there because of God's will, and he wasn't about to abandon post, and he was able, because he was willing to stay with the stuff. Come on now. He was able to stay with the stuff. God give him sticking grace, stay in grace, stand in grace, sing in grace, shout in grace. And when the door swung open, he was able to tell a sinner, we're still here. We've not run. We're not runners. God's people are not runners. We're not quitters. We're not looking for an exit except through the sky. And he said, we're all here. And he came in trembling. And he said, what must I do to be saved? Now watch this now. And of course, Paul being able to say that we're still here. We didn't run. We didn't jump ship. We didn't abandon post. We're still here. We're where we're supposed to be. Paul was able to answer that great eternal question. What must I do to be saved? And he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And you read on down through there, the Philippian jailer got saved and his house got saved and they were baptized. Who do you think was hearing Paul and them singing at midnight? Who do you think was hearing them singing and praising the Lord at midnight? All of those jailers. All those jailers. They were watching him. They were listening to them. I'm telling you, sinners are watching you and they're watching me. What are they seeing? Are they see us acting the same way they do? We're happy if we get what we want and we're mad and sad if we don't get what we want. That's the same type of rejoicing they've got. When things are going well, they like it. When things are not going well, they don't like it. That's the same thing. But Paul and Silas showed that being a saved person, God gives you grace that is greater than the circumstance. Well, that's good. Hallelujah. But we need to rejoice in the Savior. Where do you get that at? I was hoping you'd ask. I was hoping you would ask. And I like doing studies. And one of them I usually try to do, and I use often, is the first mention principle. The first mention principle. How many knows what that is? That's when you take a word, a doctrine, and you go search it back till it's first mentioned. And look at it and study it in that seedbed setting. And it will carry that same general concept all the way through its usage. Well, I got concerned about that word rejoice. If I'm to rejoice evermore, then I want to know what I'm supposed to be rejoicing about. The first time it is used in Matthew chapter 2, verse 10. If you'd like to turn there. If not, I'm already there. In chapter number 2, this is the wise men now that has come from afar, from the east. Wanted to know, where is he that is born king of the Jews? Verse 2. For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. Look at verse number, I could read on, but let's look at verse 10. Because this is where the word is used. When they saw the star, here it is, the exact same word used in 1 Thessalonians 5:16. When they saw the star, verse 2, it's called his star. They did what? Rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Ah, I like that. What was that all about? What were they rejoicing about? They were rejoicing about the Savior. What are we supposed to be rejoicing evermore? We're supposed to be evermore rejoicing about Jesus, our Savior. Well, amen. I thought that was good. At Luke chapter number 1, I didn't get to do all the research on all of the words because I forgot how many times it's used throughout the New Testament. But I did notice that the first several times that it's used, there was a great common denominator, and that was Jesus. Look at Luke 1 and 14. Here again is used in verse number 14. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord. He's talking about John the Baptist. And shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. For he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. I read one verse too late. Verse 14 is the one I meant to use. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. What about that? John the Baptist was all about Jesus, wasn't he? He was sent before him as a forerunner, pointing people's attention to Jesus. Look at chapter number, we looked at this verse this morning, so I'll just quote it. Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 4. Rejoice in the Lord. I'm talking about If I'm to rejoice evermore, the first thing I'm supposed to rejoice in is the Savior. He is evermore. He is the eternal Christ. He's the eternal Redeemer. He is my eternal Savior. I'm rejoicing Him. Rejoice in the Lord, and again I say, rejoice. Look at John, my goodness, I've got so many scriptures. Look at John 14:28. John 14:28. Amen. That's good for you to be turning those pages. Get you used to it. In a context of John 14 of if you love me, and this will be the third of those statements in John 14, if you love me, keep my commandments. Verse 15. If you love me, verse 23, if the man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we'll come unto him and make our abode with him. Verse 28 is the third time it is referenced. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. Watch this now. Everybody listening, on what are we preaching on tonight? Rejoice evermore, right? Rejoice evermore. If you love me, ye would rejoice. Oh my, let's get in the altar. Same word, Brother J.R. Actually, the exact same word used right here is used in 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Rejoice evermore. Jesus said, if you loved me, you would rejoice. So, if that's the case, and that's a statement, that's a bold statement, and only Jesus could say it. Then if that is not true, then is that not a reflection on our lack of love for the Lord? Are y'all still with me, or am I just preaching to Brother Ivan? Are y'all still with me? If you love me, Jesus said, if ye love me, ye would rejoice. So if we're not rejoicing, what does that say? Brother Ivan, if we rejoice when things go well, then maybe that's what we love. If we rejoice when there's money in the bank and bills are paid and kids are, everything's fine with them, then maybe that's what we love. We're being treated good. We love that. Maybe that's, and we rejoice over those things. Maybe that's what we love. Jesus didn't say none of that. Because all that I just mentioned comes and goes. It could be here and not the next minute. But Jesus said, if you love me, he said, ye would rejoice. He didn't say you can rejoice. You should rejoice. He said, you would. Wasn't that what he said? He said, ye would rejoice because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. Man, are we under conviction yet? Are we rejoicing in the Lord? Look at Luke 13:17. I've got to get on with it. I got to put it in high gear here. Somebody said, well, preacher, I wish you'd get off of this. No, it's what we need. Jesus is coming. Hey, we're preaching on second coming spirituality, right? That means he could come. He's coming. It's not a matter of if. He is coming. He that shall come and will not tarry. All he's waiting for, I believe personally, is for the last one to get in that's going to complete the bride, and the Father will say, go get your bride. I don't believe he's going to hesitate. I don't believe he's going to sit around and wait for another minute. I believe he's going to depart out onto the clouds of glory and say, come up hither. Amen. Luke 13:17. Are you there? Say amen. And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced. There it is. For all the glorious things that were done by him. I'm talking about if we're going to rejoice evermore, we need to start where it's at. And that's rejoicing in Jesus. Rejoicing in Jesus. I know this is such elementary preaching. It's pathetic. Amen. But I want to tell you, it's where we're at and what we need. Amen. We need to be rejoicing. I need to be rejoicing in the Savior. And if I'm rejoicing in the Savior, it don't matter what else is going on in my life or what is not going on in my life. If I'm rejoicing in the Savior, that's a constant. That's a consistent. That is a definite. That'll never change. Amen. God help us. All right. Amen. Rejoice over the glorious things that he had done. I want to use this right here. Look at Matthew 28:9. I know we're flipping back and forth. Matthew 28. This is post-resurrection, of course, of Christ. Look at chapter 28 of Matthew. Verse number 9. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. There's the word. H-A-I-L. All hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. Jesus was calling them when he said, all hail. He was calling them to a rejoicing with him and of him. And they not only came when was involved in the rejoicing, but the Bible says, and I just saw this, he said H-A-I-L, which means the same as 1 Thessalonians 5:16, rejoice evermore. And then they came and H-E-L-D him. I believe if we did a little some of the H-A-I-L, we could probably do a little more of the H-E-L-D. Whatever you H-A-I-L, you'll probably want to hold. You'll probably want to put your grips on. You'll probably want to embrace. And they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. All right? We're going to use that same word again. We're going to use that same word again, except it's going to be in a negative. Look, if you will, at Matthew 26. You just have to turn back a few pages. Matthew 26, verse 49. Everybody's heard of Judas Iscariot. And this is when the betrayal is in process, and Judas sold him out for 30 pieces of silver. Watch this right here. In verse 49, let's read verse 48 with it. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, those that had hired him. And by the way, can I put a little question right here? Are you for sale? Can the enemy pay a price tag and get you to betray the Lord? Get you to sell out the Lord? Do I have a price tag on that? Am I open for bids on that? Judas, look at it, verse 48. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, whomsoever, look at this, whomsoever I shall kiss, not slap. Someone said it well, Jesus has been betrayed more by a kiss than by a slap. Judas said, you're going to know which one it is, because it's going to be the one that I'll kiss. Whomsoever I shall kiss, the same is he. Hold him fast. He did that negatively. Boy, it'd be good if we did that positively. You say, what do you mean? I believe it'd be good if we could show everybody who he is, because we could say it this, Brother Mark. You'll know who Jesus is because it's the one I'm kissing on. It's the one that I'm loving on, amen. There's been plenty of them that sold him out with a kiss of betrayal. But I wonder where the flip side of that is. I wonder where's the multitude, my friend, that's identifying who Jesus is by a kiss of loyalty and a kiss of love. Man, it's getting big. You pray for me. Look at verse 49. Here comes the word. Everybody ready? And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. Judas identified who Jesus was by using our word rejoice, or hail as it's here, H-E-I-L. H-A-I-L, hail. He uses that word, listen, to identify who the master was and who Jesus was. Same thing I said about the kiss, I want to say about the rejoicing. He used that word rejoice, or that word hail. He used that word to identify, for the wrong reason, who Jesus was. Where are the multitudes that are rejoicing in the Lord? Why? Because it's going to point him out. There he is. That's the master. And we point him out by rejoicing. Oh, come on. It don't matter if we get done or not. This is too big. It's getting too big. If my rejoicing points him out, Brother Webb, we're going to all be in altar in a minute. If my rejoicing points him out, then what does my lack of rejoicing do? Oh, boy. If my rejoicing points him out, as did, of course, Judas wasn't real. His was fake. His wasn't really from the heart. Right? I hope we're not guilty of that. If y'all help me, I'll preach on that a minute if I don't lose that train of thought. Boy, I'm seeing so much right here. My little peanut brain is just going 100 miles an hour right now. Amen. God help us. But if my rejoicing points him out, then if I'm not rejoicing, then I am pulling people's attention away from him. My pouting does not point him out, Brother Aaron. My sadness, Brother J.R., does not point him out. Going around long face does not point him out. Does not magnify who he is. But rather it will pull people's attention away. I don't believe we're getting that. I'm just being honest with you. I don't think we're getting the bigness of that truth right there. Amen. Because if we did, I believe we'd be all under conviction because of our lack of rejoicing evermore, which is supposed to be a rejoicing in the Savior, in the Lord. Rejoice evermore. Point him out. Look at him. There he is. Can people come in RBT and see us rejoicing in our songs, our preaching, our teaching, our testifying, Brother Craig, and through it all, you boil it down. Basically, what we're doing is we're rejoicing in the Lord and we're pointing him out. If sinners are sitting on our pews and they're lost without God, of course they're lost. Our rejoicing, you know what our rejoicing does? Amen, Brother Maury. Our rejoicing says to sinners, there he is. That's him. That's the master. That's the one that can save you. That's the one that can save you. Man, I'm telling you, that's so big right there. Now, what was that train of thought? I'm trying to get it back here a minute. What was it? I just asked you, don't let me forget it. There you go. Amen. Thank you, Brother Ivan. We got one listening in the crowd. You was listening too, wasn't you listening? All right, listen. Judas went through all of the outward part of it. Wouldn't you think? I mean, he comes to him. He says, Hail, Master. I mean, he's rejoicing in the Master. He kisses him. Amen. Jesus even calls him friend in the next verse. But it was all fake. There was no heart in it. How many's listening? There was no heart in it. He went through the outward motions, but there was no heart. Now, I want to ask us all a question. How many times have we been guilty of that? How many times have we been guilty of that? Going through the motions, going through the outward, amen, nodding of the head, saying amen, raising the hand, even going to an altar. It's all, and it's outward. But is there heart in it? Judas did some. Oh, help us, Lord. Judas kissed the Lord. I wonder how many of us has done that. I wonder how many of us have done that. Have we got that close? He was that close. Come on, Preacher Rackley, you're right, you're on it. He got that close with his lips, but he sure wasn't close with his life. He kissed him, Brother Ivan. Kissed him on the cheek. No doubt that's where it's at. Potentially, it could have been even his feet. I don't know. But still, yet, he kissed him. Have we done that lately? And his wasn't even real. He had money on the brain. I'm getting paid for this. Well, I don't know if we're getting it or not. Y'all pray for me. Lord, help us. I wanted to finish this, but I ain't no way. Let's look a couple more verses and we'll be done. I don't know what else we'll do with it. We'll just have to see. John 20 in verse 20. Turn there real quickly. Man, I'm telling you, that's some. Not because I'm preaching, but I'm telling you, God has showed some deep things through that rejoice evermore passage to my heart. And there's no way that I could come up with those things. Lord did that. You know that. You know that. John 20. I'm talking about if we're going to rejoice evermore, our rejoicing must be in the Lord, the Savior. John 20. Verse 20, again, post-resurrection. Let's read verse 19 with it. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Get the picture now. Then were the disciples glad. There's the word. That word glad is the same word, 1 Thessalonians 5:16, rejoice. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Well, there's so much preaching on that. Good night. Look at Luke 19:37. I should have had you while you were there looking at Luke 19:37. I don't think we've looked at that verse yet, no. Luke 19:37. I believe we need revival in this area. I believe we're on it. Whether we get it, whether we're getting it or not, I have no idea. I hope I'm getting it. That's who I'm responsible for. I hope I'm getting it. Luke 19:37. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice. There's the word. Began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, Blessed be the King that cometh. In the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And those are just a few. I'm talking about a few of the several verses that shows that our rejoicing evermore is to be in the start with in the Savior. And I want to say this one other thing. I said it earlier, but I want to say it for emphasis purposes. If I'm to rejoice evermore, then I must rejoice in what is evermore. I must get my eyes on what is eternal. And the first one is the Savior. And our rejoicing will cease when our rejoicing is over temporal things. Our rejoicing, and by the way, do you think, listen, even when we're rejoicing over temporal things, do you think that pleases the Lord? When we're rejoicing about things, people, circumstances, places, etc., if we're rejoicing about those things, do you think that pleases the Lord? That does not please the Lord any more than us not rejoicing at all because we're rejoicing in the wrong things. RBT needs a revival in rejoicing in the Lord. If I had my cell phone over here, I'd love to have read a text that I got from one of the visitors this morning. And to God be the glory. Long text. Said, preacher, I got more out of one service than I've got out of three services where I was at. Are y'all listening? Got more. To God be the... She's talking about getting help. I got more help. I got more help. But we need a revival in rejoicing in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. And that is so... I mean, that's from Genesis to Revelations. Isn't that what, Brother Trav, isn't that what we're going to be doing in heaven? Isn't that what we're going to be doing in heaven? I mean, you read the Revelations and other scriptures, that helps us to take a little glimpse over into the eternal future. Amen. We look over across the river into the eternal future. What is that multitude which no man can number? What are they doing? What's the rejoicing about in heaven? Is it the gates of pearl? I challenge you, show me where there's rejoicing over the gates of pearl. The street of gold, transparent gold, show me where they're rejoicing about that. Show me where they're rejoicing about the tree of life or the river of life. Show me where there's rejoicing even, listen, about the walls of jasper and the many other magnificent, unbelievable things. Now, you know what the grand theme of heaven is? Jesus, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. And there will never be in eternity future, never be a rejoicing about anything else. I don't believe we're getting that. I honestly don't think we're getting the bigness of that right there. Let's just take the millennial kingdom for a second. When righteousness is going to cover this world like the waters cover the sea. Sin's gone. Curse is lifted. Devil's bound in the bound. Thank God. Bound. No devil. Think about that right there is almost the definition of heaven. No devil. Brother Bob, can we get a hold of that? No devil. Oh, he hates that. He wants you to think he's always going to be around. There's coming today, buddy. I know where his final abode is. Revelation 20:10, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire where the beast and the false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night forever and forever. No devil. Amen. Jesus is going to sit upon the throne. Jesus is going to rule. This planet's going to be covered with righteousness. Can we get a hold of that? Goodness. But that's just a little foretaste of what heaven's going to be like. That's literally going to be heaven on earth. It's going to be a little bit of a taste of heaven on earth. And all praise, all honor, and all worship is going to be going to Jesus. When the next time the ensemble sings that, the name, what is that song y'all sang about the name? Wonderful name? Jesus, what a wonderful name. It takes me a second, I get it. Jesus, what a wonderful name. You listen to the words of that next time they sing that. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Pray the Lord help me on rejoicing evermore. I don't know where... I've got plenty more I'm down to deal with on that rejoice evermore. Whether the Lord wants us to just kind of just bump it and go on to the next verse, we'll find out. We'll get some leadership on that. But it wouldn't bother me a bit. The way I feel tonight, some of the things the Lord has uncovered in tonight, I wouldn't care if the Lord let us just plow on through that some more, because that's where we're at. Come on, can I give you this right here? We're fixing to watch our youth camp show, our slide pictures here in just a minute. Why go, Miss Debbie, to the next verse, which is what? Pray without ceasing. Is that the next verse? Why deal with that? Miss Wanda, why deal with praying when we ain't even got the rejoicing part down? In fact, probably that's what's behind prayerlessness. Yeah. is a lack of rejoicing in the Lord. And a lack of rejoicing in the Lord shows there's a condition problem, not a circumstance problem, a condition problem. Hallelujah. We get our joy back, it'd probably help our prayer life. What do you think? Let's bow for prayer.